A petroleum refinery in Great Falls plans to expand and double production. Good evening, I'm Courtney Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Jovetich, and that's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition.
Capitol reporter Dan Boies talks about Governor Steve Bullock's Main Street Montana project. And in our feature interview, reporter Edward O'Brien talks with the Missoula County Fairgrounds new director. The owner of the petroleum refinery in Great Falls says it plans a $275 million expansion that will double production and add 30 jobs over the next 2 years. Calumet Specialty Products Partners LLC spokesman Noel Ryan confirmed yesterday the expansion plans at Calumet Montana Refining. Work is expected to be completed by September 2015. The Great Falls Tribune reports the expansion will double the refinery's capacity to 20,000 barrels a day, which is still about one-third of the production of three refineries in the Billings area. Products include gasoline, diesel fuel, and jet fuel, along with diluent, a light oil used to dilute heavier oil. Montana Refining has historically employed about 100 people. Calumet bought Montana Refining Company in October 2012.
And another news from around the state, a bankruptcy judge has denied request by creditors to liquidate the assets of Southern Montana Electric Generation and Transmission Cooperative. The Billings Gazette reports U.S. bankruptcy judge Ralph Kircher ruled Wednesday that the trustee for the wholesale power supplier has shown a likelihood of proposing a reorganization plan. An unsecured creditors committee and some of the Southern's member cooperatives argued on July 31st that SME should be liquidated in light of the departure of two co-ops and their customers. Kircher ruled the committee didn't produce any evidence that a loss of part of the co-op's revenue stream has any impact on its future viability. Trustee Lee Freeman said SME has had a positive cash flow since February 2012 after he rejected a contract with PPL Montana and obtained power for about half the price.
The state insurance commissioner says Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Montana is reimbursing customers for erroneous charges. Monica Lindeen said today that more than $700,000 has been paid so far after her office discovered the company wrongly charged customers for services listed as free. Customers were being asked to pay a large deductible on some services that had been advertised as not having any copay. Lindeen said an investigation spurred by complaints found that Blue Cross had changed its policies without first getting required approval from her office. Montanans insured under a plan sold to small businesses called Blue Dimensions were affected. The company was fined $5,000 and continues to reimburse affected customers.
U.S. Representative Steve Daines has a new committee leadership appointment. Daines says he has been appointed vice chairman of the House Homeland Security Subcommittee on Oversight and Management Efficiency. The Republicans' office said in a release that the panel helps oversee the Department of Homeland Security in efforts to improve that agency's efficiency and transparency. Daines also serves on the Homeland Security Subcommittees on Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Protection and the House Committees on Natural Resources and Transportation and Infrastructure.
Governor Steve Bullock is asking the public to help flesh out a plan for economic development in the state. The Main Street Montana project wrapped up a series of seven roundtable discussions in different communities in July. Capitol reporter Dan Boies tells us the governor is now hoping to collect ideas through surveys.
Montanans have proven they are national leaders in business ingenuity and hard work.
You're hearing a video from the homepage of the Main Street Montana project. Welders, lab technicians, construction workers stand nodding to the camera, giving knowing smiles. Governor Bullock says he wants to figure out what works for businesses and what doesn't from the businesses themselves.
Really a bottoms-up approach to economic development to put together a blueprint for where we are and where we ought to go.
So the first step is collecting those ideas. The project is co-chaired by Washington Company's president and CEO Larry Simpkins and D.A. Davidson & Company president and CEO Bill Johnstone. They've been holding these roundtables around the state for the past couple months. Bullock says they've heard from about 1,000 Montanans through these discussions. He went to two of them.
Some things that I heard is the importance of talent and trained workforce.
So education needs, access to capital, funding, transportation issues.
Even I think the infrastructure network of making sure that we have sufficient wireless capability and internet speeds.
But Bullock points out Montana is a big state and the challenges vary widely. It will take time to narrow down priorities. and hopefully more public feedback. Bullock says the project is actively conducting surveys in all of Montana's 56 counties, and he invites all members of the public to take the survey on the project's website. The governor says it might be called the Main Street Montana Project, but the focus is overall economic well-being.
I guess keeping a downtown or a Main Street vibrant isn't just also the businesses on that street. It's the overall state and people coming into our communities.
Organizers plan to finish a report early in 2014, compiling suggestions into a specific set of proposals. Some of those could be ideas for the 2015 legislature. I'm Dan Boyce reporting at the Capitol.
Find a link to the Main Street Montana Project survey from our website, mtpr.org.
The Snake Fire, 3 miles east of Yellowstone's south entrance, is estimated to be 200 acres. The lightning-caused fire started after 4 p.m. on Monday. Currently, the fire has one helicopter, 6 engines, and 26 personnel. Public Information Officer Tracy Weaver says the fire has seen minimal growth today.
Due to rain showers that passed over the area, and it's been cloudy and cooler today. But we had firefighters are working on structure protection plans around the south entrance of Yellowstone as well as Flag Ranch. And those are more precautionary if a wildfire, any wildfire, should ever threaten those areas.
Firefighters will continue to monitor the fire as isolated showers and thunderstorms remain a possibility with moderate winds.
We did have some lightning move through the area, so if folks see any smoke, it's important they report that. Sometimes lightning fires will smolder for a few days before they flare up, and just so that don't assume that we are aware there's a smoke out there. It's a good thing to report it to 911 if you have cell service or to the closest ranger.
For fire updates, maps, and photos, visit the NC website.
Two men arrested in the shooting death of a 46-year-old Butte man have made initial appearances in justice court. The Montana Standard reports 24-year-old Jeffrey Lackman of Whitehall is charged with deliberate homicide after Mark Partello was shot in the head with a handgun. Butte Silver Bow County Sheriff said Partello was shot Monday night during an argument outside a Butte residence. A 28-year-old Deer Lodge man, Juan Romero, is charged with deliberate homicide by accountability after prosecutors say he helped Lackman flee the scene and hide the weapon. Lackman and Romero were arrested early Wednesday on U.S. Highway 87, about 4 miles north of Roundup. Justice of the Peace Deborah Williams set Lackman's bond at $500,000 and Romero's at $250,000. During a hearing yesterday, both will say they need public defenders.
A 34-year-old man convicted of stabbing a Butte man to death in February 2011 has been sentenced to serve a life sentence at a mental health care facility. The Montana Standard reports District Judge Kurt Kruger sentenced Jerry Mata yesterday and recommended he serve his sentence at the Montana State Hospital in Warm Springs. A jury found Mata guilty of deliberate homicide last October in the death of 62-year-old Robert Chicago Bob Bozier. Bozier was found dead on a city sidewalk after being stabbed numerous times with a large kitchen knife. Defense attorney Stephen Scott told Kruger that his client had no memory of the murder. Psychologist Tim Casey testified that he diagnosed Mata as having schizophrenia and said he is prone to having episodes, especially when he doesn't take his medication.
Students and faculty members from many different walks of life can be found at the University of Montana. The university's Equal Opportunity and Affirmative Action Office's goal is to ensure that everyone is given a chance to succeed in this diverse environment. Reporter Mike Powell recently spoke with the office's new director.
Eric Gutierrez started his new position as the director of UM's Equal Opportunity and Affirmative Action Office on July 1st. Prior to coming to Missoula, he had most recently served as the director of legislative and public policy for the National Employment Lawyers Association.
I have a long trajectory of really working in the world of discrimination, if you will. I started my legal career. I went to law school at 37, graduated at 40, and worked for the Mexican-American Legal Defense and Educational Fund as their lobbyist in comprehensive immigration reform. Throughout the years, I really made my career in D.C., and that career really focused on the rights mostly of the most marginalized folks in our society, including Latinos, LGBT folks, women, indigenous folks.
Gutierrez, now 48, served in the Peace Corps in Ecuador and has traveled to other Latin American countries like Nicaragua, Paraguay, and Argentina. His bilingual upbringing with college-educated parents in El Paso, Texas, influenced his career path.
More specifically, my mom was also one of the architects of Catholic Legal Immigration Network, which is the largest provider of immigration services, legal services in the United States. She worked for them for quite a long time, and she served on their board for 10 years. So the exposure that I had to immigration, immigration law, to human rights, civil rights, was amazing.
Gutierrez worked on civil rights cases in Washington State as an attorney with the nonprofit Columbia Legal Services in 2010 and 2011. A couple of those cases dealt with sexual discrimination, including assault. The recent investigations into sexual assault cases related to UM partially drew Gutierrez to his new role on campus.
I feel that that the university has done an amazing job already of identifying and addressing some of the gender issues that perhaps can create an environment where sexual discrimination can sort of thrive. Like I said, I'm excited to be part of that opportunity to really make a difference and ensure that our children are safe and that the focus is on education.
UM's commitment to diversity also attracted Gutierrez to the top position at the Equal Opportunity and Affirmative Action Office.
I think the thing, as I mentioned before, is to sort of help the university and help the community as well to sort of take a look at themselves and say, let's take stock in who we are and how do we know each other to be, how do we understand each other to be, and moreover, how can we work together in a way that also allows not just for diversity of gender or race or religion or national origin, but also of thought. And I think this is the wonderful thing of being on a university campus, is that that reality is also part of the day in and day out of our lives and our students' lives.
Gutierrez is thrilled to be at the University of Montana, and he looks forward to adding to Missoula's diversity as he becomes more familiar with the town. For Montana Evening Edition, I'm Mike Powell.
A 53-year-old Billings man who pleaded guilty to conning an elderly couple out of their $40,000 life savings has been sentenced to 10 years with the Department of Corrections, with five suspended. District Judge Susan Waters recommended that Lyle Anton Sheets be placed at the Billings Pre-Release Center so he can find work and start paying the $40,500 he owes 84-year-old Richard Ames and his wife. During yesterday's sentencing hearing, Ames described Sheets as a gifted musician and a con man who took advantage of the couple's kindness. They allowed him to live in their basement rent-free for a year, loaned him money, and co-signed on a pickup loan that he did not repay. The Billings Gazette reports Sheets said an addiction to prescription pain pills and illegal drugs had him in a as a, quote, pretty dark individual, unquote.
Missoula County Fairgrounds has a new director, and his name is Todd Garrett. Garrett will replace Steve Earle, who earlier this year announced his retirement plans. Garrett and his family currently live in Whitefish. He's a University of Montana grad who earned a degree in recreation management. Garrett says many people mistakenly assume that's a discipline rooted in fun and games, when in fact, he says he learned critically important management and communication skills. Years ago, he was appointed to serve on the Missoula Open Space Advisory Committee. Prior to joining FWP, he served as interim director for the Whitefish Parks and Recreation Department. He tells Edward O'Brien he feels he's honored and so lucky to have been able to find great work in a magnificent state like Montana.
The combination of working for Parks and Recreation, Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, the municipal level, then at the state level, maybe then now I'm somewhat in between those two expanses at the county level. It is a charmed experience. I feel fortunate. I feel, since I'm here on campus, that the University of Montana more than adequately prepared me, challenged me. And in Missoula, if you are in recreation, conservation type of a field of pursuing that type of degree, there's so many opportunities right here in town to further your knowledge and meet with the professionals. I found professionals were approachable and willing to guide me through the process when I was a student. And with recreation, it's always nice to do, as I always said, independent studies. Climbing, backcountry skiing in the Bitterroot, that's an independent study. Going to the farmer's market, independent study. So you're constantly working in the recreation field.
We found out earlier this year that Missoula County's current fairgrounds director, Steve Earle, said this will be his last go-around and he planned to retire here. Why did you say, yeah, that's something I'd be interested in trying out for?
You know, it's funny, as Steve handed me the keys last night to the building, big shoes to fill, and I'll just mention that the more I get to know Steve, the more I realize he's just a great individual. I feel fortunate to have some overlap and learn from him. I was looking for new challenges, and I started to investigate the fairgrounds and the site. So I was able to look into the enhancement and development plan, and I realized that there was a partnership that had been developed that included not only the almost 50 acres of fairgrounds land, but some of the neighbors. And the neighbors include Missoula Parks and Recreation. And as I mentioned, I did a practicum with them. I was familiar with them and think really highly of that entity. The YMCA is another neighbor, their partner. When I was in college, I worked part-time for the YMCA as well. Mm-hmm. And it just really piqued my interest. And then I realized there was a broader interest in the fairgrounds being central to the valley and where they were going with some of the proposals in the enhancement development plan, which include a county extension office, a multi-use facility, and it just really seemed like an exciting time to come on board and work with the community, the partners, the interest groups that currently use the facility, and seeing where it's going to go. I feel really fortunate. I think Steve did a lot of the heavy lifting, as they say, and I think he's set up a great foundation to be successful.
Boy, this background of yours, this public process background, really paying dividends right now.
I sure hope so. Yeah. It's a passion of mine. I enjoy interacting with diverse groups of people and finding ways to have everyone's interest come together to serve everyone as a whole and partnering. I sort of feel it's akin to having a roommate and partnering and sharing the expenses of a house. And although you all have different interests and goals all together, you're aiding one another by working together.
Who are some of these interests that maybe, I was going to say competing interests, maybe they are, maybe they aren't.
I shouldn't use the word competing. I should more think about just with some of my past experience. As you mentioned, people are extremely passionate about the resources. That's a great thing because along with that passion comes support and drive and motivation to accomplish wonderful things that benefit all of us. Missoula has an incredible amount of passion for a lot of things in this community, and I think the fairgrounds is going to benefit from that passion. The partners, and honestly, I'm just starting to learn, so Forgive me if I leave someone out or make a mistake, but obviously there's the ice rink, two ice rinks or two sheets of ice out there that plays a major role in the fairgrounds as far as the winter time and even extending beyond the winter season. The fair and the 4-H club is probably what really started the fairgrounds almost 100 years ago, and that agricultural heritage of the valley, and it's important to acknowledge that. It's also fun walking around. I was viewing some of the 4-H exhibits yesterday, and it's neat for families, even if you're not involved in agriculture, to go there and see some of that and reflect back on our heritage. There's some wonderful historical buildings, so people that are interested in that definitely play a role. And along with that, there's a number of events. There's the Five Valleys Kennel Club, I believe, that orchestrates the dog show. I think the Missoula Strikers Soccer Association has expressed interest. There's one in the Enhancement Development Plan, as far as partners go, another section of the county extension office. And with the multi-use facility that's being studied and proposed in the Enhancement and Development Plan could provide an opportunity for all those partners and more to benefit from that facility for events. Along with partners is also the general public for special events, whether it's a wedding, a retirement party, graduation celebration. It provides a great opportunity and a good location for people. And I shouldn't say just Missoula, the town, the entire county, to come together and hold these events because there's a variety of rental opportunities out there for people to have their own special event.
Mm. During the interview process, you made no secret of it. You've never run a fair or a fair grounds, I guess I should say.
I have not.
Could that be a problem?
I sure hope not. I'm looking at it as an opportunity. I definitely have experience on a lot of different fair rides and carnivals, good and bad. And so I have, experienced the queasiness. I know which rides to stay away from. So just as I've learned which rides to stay away from that I can't handle, I think through the management of the fairgrounds, I'll also learn what we need to do. I think that I'm fortunate to be able to learn from Steve Earle, and also there's an incredibly talented staff that's in place, a small staff. If you were at the fairgrounds this week, or if you plan to when you're out there, and you realize just how few people work incredibly long hours and long days and give up a large portion of their life to put on that event, you realize that there's a lot of effort and care, and people are proud of what they do out there. And so I think they'll, you know, allow me to come along for the ride and learn.
The topic of horse racing, always controversial. It's a non-starter right now. There is no horse racing. What do you think? I mean, could there be at least a future to talk about the issue, or is it done?
You know, I'm not knowledgeable enough about the horse racing issue. I'm learning more about it in the industry. I know that Missoula is not the only fairgrounds or community that is not proceeding with horse racing events. And so oftentimes with most things, it comes down to viability, funding, space. And I would assume that that is the underlying factor with horse racing as well. There might only be one community in Montana that is continuing with horse racing. I think it's Great Falls. Yeah. 20 years ago, almost all communities with larger fairgrounds had horse racing. And honestly, I don't know what originally sparked the decline in horse racing, but it's obvious to me that there's quite a bit less horse racing in Montana anyways.
Mm. I guess advocates say, look, it's a huge hit in Great Falls. That gives us reason to reconsider it here.
I wouldn't want to comment on that.
Okay.
Especially since I haven't had thorough discussions. Sure. I just sort of landed in town, and again, I think that, you know, there has been a decision in regards to horse racing, and I think it was determined that it, you know, wasn't viable, or oftentimes you refer to the highest and best use. Mm. But again, I should mention that I'm not knowledgeable enough about that, but, you know, in the coming months, I'll learn quite a bit more about that issue, and feel free, we can contact again, and I'll see if I can provide you more information.
Sounds fair enough. Well, as soon as the fair wraps up this year, my understanding is you and your staff knuckle down and get ready for next year, like almost immediately.
The planning efforts for next year have already begun.
Wow.
In fact, part of the process last night, and one of the more valuable reasons that I came down here, you know, was to learn about the fair, and immediately, which is why I had a hard time returning calls or getting back to other folks, it was exciting to drive over, hop in the golf cart with Steve, and instantly being immersed in the planning efforts for the next event, identifying what's working now, how can we improve. And I think with a lot of things in life, you know, focused on continual improvement yields great rewards, and it's already begun. It's an ongoing planning effort to produce this huge event. Again, trying to, not sure if my facts are correct, but I think that during the fair week, the fairgrounds themselves become the 12th largest town in Montana. And behind it all is that planning effort that really never stops. I think there's always planning and preparation going on. I was speaking with one of the maintenance people, Chris, out there, and they were making plans and realizing that the only time to perform some maintenance tasks is going to be at 5 a.m. this morning. And I was talking to them at, you know, 9 last night. So that just shows the amount of effort that goes into it. And just like the maintenance and preparation, the planning never stops.
Yeah. Well, coming to Missoula must be great for you and your family, but you also, I'm sure, will be missing whitefish.
Oh, yes. Montana is a small town, as they say, and I'm easily interested in a number of things. And I've always said that every place I go in Montana, you know, whether it's north, south, east, west, southwest, they're all just better in their own way. And so there's wonderful things about the entire state. And so no matter where I'm at in Montana, I feel like I'm home.
I've been speaking with Missoula County's new fairgrounds director, Todd Garrett. Todd, fun to meet you. Congratulations as well.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here.
And in tonight's weather forecast for west of the Divide, tonight calls for mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty winds. Lows will be in the upper 40s to mid-50s. Tomorrow, expect partly cloudy skies with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be in the 80s. Sunday, look for partly cloudy skies with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows will be in the mid-40s to lower 50s. Highs will be in the mid-80s to lower 90s. For central Montana, tonight calls for partly cloudy skies with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty winds. Lows will be in the lower 50s. Tomorrow, expect partly cloudy skies with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty winds, small hail, and heavy rainfall. Lows will be between 75 to 80 degrees. Sunday, look for partly cloudy skies with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows will stay in the 50s. Highs will be in the upper 70s. And for southwest Montana, tonight calls for mostly cloudy skies, then clearing with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty winds. Lows will stay around 45 to 55 degrees. Tomorrow, expect increasing clouds in the afternoon, then becoming partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs will stay in the upper 80s. Sunday, look for partly cloudy skies with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows will be in the lower 50s. Highs will be in the lower 80s. And now for the editorial comments of Marika Wells.
Hi, I'm Marika Wells, Administrator for Hospice in Missoula, and I'm dying. Actually, I've been dying since the moment I was born, and well, you're dying too. Yeah, I said it. Dying is part of life. Surprise! It can be a little shocking to look at death, partly, I think, because our culture has sort of forgotten how to. But the thing is, I'm going to die, you're going to die, your mom, sister, brother, aunt, dog, fish, tree, all things die. Death is normal. Dying is normal. It is a part of life, and I'm not telling you something you don't know, yet talking about it is a little edgy. So like I said, I'm Marika, and I work with Hospice of Missoula, and no, at this time, I do not have an illness that I'm aware of. But I do want to share a few things with you today. First, I would like to take a moment to appreciate all of the people in our community who provide hospice care, and to recognize that it is amazing work. This week, our hospice team has had to say goodbye to a number of wonderful people, and you'd think we'd be used to it. Yet, as we provide support, compassion, and care for these individuals and their loved ones, we also grieve alongside them, bereaving not only their loss, but for the loss in our lives as well. It seems a little funny to say it, but we come to love our patients and their families very much. In hospice, this is our normal. It's normal to love, normal to grieve, normal to recognize that death is sad, beautiful, and uniquely intimate all at the same time. Of course, we also find humor and we laugh at ourselves, playing up all the amazing puns you can find when talking about death and dying. My favorite, and it gets voted off every single time I try to add it onto a campaign, is hospice is so great that people are dying to get in. You get the picture. This is our normal, and it could be your normal too. It's such an interesting thing to work in hospice care. We hold dying up to the light and examine all of its facets regularly, discovering beauty, blinding truths, and the sadness, of course, that affects us all. It is this experience of caring for someone at the end of their life that changes us and shapes how we're able to give again. Witnessing this process moves me beyond words, and I know that there is no place I would rather be. So maybe saying hospice work is interesting could be rephrased with a little more purpose. Yes, it's completely interesting. It's also challenging. We're living every day witnessing the very most certain part of life, experiencing this incredibly taboo subject of death that when brought up in a conversation can quite literally bring that conversation to a halt. I actually had the thought as I was driving here today, will they let me say death on the radio? I mean, how funny is that? Doesn't it seem strange that we celebrate death, celebrate it on our holidays, yet we have an incredibly difficult time talking about it, and importantly, in accepting our own finite lives? It isn't uncommon to hear, I don't know what I would do if my mother ever dies. Now, I don't think any of us would think it was odd to feel lost when we lose someone who's very close to us. It is an incredibly difficult thing to experience. But I do want to argue that it may be easier, this process, if we accepted death as part of life for our entire lives. The other day, a woman said to me, "It was very nice to meet you, and I hope I never need your services." And that was so weird, I thought, never needing hospice. And then it sort of hit me. My revelation was, we are the odd ones. Me, the people I work with and talk to every day, were weird. How could this possibly be when dying is such a normal part of life? So I get it. My orientation on death and dying is so very abnormal. and I am inviting you to feel the very same way. In hospice, we invite others to look at death and to celebrate life, to hold both of these truths in a very positive way, to really examine what dying means, what truly living means, and to examine something that we have always known in the back of our minds, but tentatively put off for the right time, the day we might be faced with an advanced illness or old age, because you know there is always a bus out there with our name on it for the right time. But I'm here to tell you that only 6% of our population dies a sudden death, and chances are that is not going to be you. So here we are talking to our community about accepting a new normal, accepting the weird normality of death, because once you do, you're free to wonder about it. You're free to have choices about it, free to be curious and to talk about it. And that is why we started 2 free monthly opportunities to wonder about death and dying. Twice a month, weird, abnormal people like us get together and are free to be curious. The first event is called the Death Cafe, and it's held on the second Wednesday of each month from 10 a.m. to noon at Cafe Dolce on Brook Street in Missoula. We provide topics and team members to spur some conversation, and you can cozy up with a cup of coffee to chat or just to listen. The second event is Community Conversations on Death and Dying, and it's held on the third Thursday of every month from 6 to 8 at night at the Loft of Missoula on Front Street in downtown Missoula. Again, we'll provide refreshments and a local expert to present on end-of-life topics. The presentation is brief, about 15 to 20 minutes, and then we come to a community conversation on this topic or anything else that may come up. Please join us. Decide to be weird, choose to be curious, and talk about death and dying. Your voice matters. I hope to see you there.